Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
It's always wonderful to have Chris Gibson in the Congressional Corner because of his military, extensive military experience, as well as extraordinary background, you know, PhD, you name it, colonel, led forces. Let's start with the Veterans Administration. Tell me, Chris, about what you're seeing. In other words, are we on the right track? Are we on the wrong track? We see the head of Procter & Gamble, now being a Republican, by the way, being appointed by the president. Is this the right move?
I do think that we're moving in the right direction. Just before I came here, I was with Linda in the VA. I was actually with Paul Tonko. We were together at the Veterans Administration, the Stratton Center, opportunity to meet with leadership again. In this case, we were really applauding the service of our female veterans, which we're incredibly proud of. And I think it was a very appropriate ceremony, but it was also an opportunity to take the temperature and the pulse of the VA leadership. And I do think that with the new leadership nationally coming on board, which I'd served with General Shinseki, I think he's a very honorable man, and I think he meant especially well. And I do think some of the reforms he was trying to bring to bear, he was stymied by some, even within his own bureaucracy. But he did need to step aside.
Okay, can you just tell us what some of those things he was stymied about?
Well, he was trying to bring, in my view, more accountability from the bottom up. And some of this change is really difficult to implement. So, and I think after a period of time, the top person also starts to get wedded to where you're at. So, you know, given where we are today, he did need to go, and I think he made the right call stepping aside. But it was also important that we empower the new head with wider ranging powers to hire and fire, because they're going to need to bring in a whole new echelon of leadership. So we have brought forward a bill and has bipartisan support, and I believe it will empower the new VA secretary. So we needed new leadership. We needed new policy. Since arriving to the Congress in 2011, this has been an issue area we've been involved with on basically a daily basis. We do about 90 to 100 assistance cases a week in our district offices. About 40% of them are veterans related, and the preponderance of them are healthcare related. They're not entirely. We also do the VA loans for homes, education and training.
These are people who are coming to you because they've been stymied in one way or another.
Yeah, they need. We need to expedite their cases, either actually getting on the rolls of the VA for some kind of disability claim, or in some cases where they have disability, but they need more expeditious healthcare coverage, being able to see our healthcare professionals. So this is something we've been involved with on a daily basis since I've been there.
But Chris Gibson, does it make you a little bit sad that somebody who comes to the congressman's office — I once did this for a friend. I went over there because he was not getting good treatment. And I turned it around just by being there, I believe. And in your case, there are a lot of people who don't know to come to you. And that's sort of sad.
Well, it certainly is disappointing that it takes an intervention of that kind to move along cases. So, you know, from a policy perspective, let me just say that what I have been conveying to the VA for a long period of time is you have an extensive backlog, and you have expertise in our communities. It just makes sense that we would use the local expertise and be able to reduce that backlog. It's not as if this was a quantum change to the policy, because heretofore, 10% of the VA budget was going to local professionals anyways, local doctors anyways. And I was
already... No, people who are not in the VA, but who you could go to.
Yeah. Right. So just a local referral. So it's not like we needed a whole new policy. We just needed a more expansive use of the local referral. So coming out of this situation, that is one area where the VA now is moving. We did pass a bill that empowered for more use of local doctors. And I do think that between the new leadership, the new policy changes, we are beginning to move in the right direction. What I've said, there's a third piece that's missing so far, and that is, along with this vision, benchmark and milestones so that we can all track this on about an every 60 to 90-day basis. I would like to see the new head of the VA come in and say, we've listened. We're actually incorporating more input from the bottom up. We're listening to veterans, veterans advocates. We have new policy on the books. And here's what our milestones are moving forward. I think if we bring forward that, then we'll all be able to pulse and go online and have more transparency. Because I think that's part of what frustrates everyone, is it's not like this is a new issue. We've all talked about this now for years. And we've heard from the administration that, you know, they were going to make this a priority. But then we've had these revelations across the country. And so people want to believe. And I think the way to do that is it was time for new leadership. We do have some new law in place.
What about money, Chris? Are we spending enough money?
We've increased the budget for the VA by over 20% in the last 3 years.
Is that enough?
Well, I think we're probably going to need to put some more because of the dollars it's going to take to do more referrals. So we're probably, and I look to see us continue to put those resources, even in a challenging time. Like I said, we've increased that budget by over 20% in the last 3 years. And as the CBO has assessed this new law, we are going to need to put more resources. But I do think that it will help us because you'll see this backlog get reduced. I want to be clear. When I have engaged with the VA here on a case-by-case basis, we have won a good number of cases where, particularly in a rural district such as ours with 11 counties, where I've said, look, it doesn't make sense to have this individual get on a bus or get in a van and drive 2+ hours to go to a center.
It's absurd.
So we did win a good number of those cases that allowed them to get a referral. The problem is that heretofore, if it was inside 2 hours, they really wanted to stick to the plan of sending them to a center. And that would make sense if they were immediately available to be seen. But if they're not, then we should be using our expertise in our communities. I do think, sadly, coming out of this, I do think there's a more... Sadly, it took this to happen, but I do think now that there's more of a flexibility to do the kind of policy reforms, and I believe that we are going to move this in the right direction.
As a former commander, we only have a couple of minutes here, a minute, but as a former commander, as a guy who led many of these people into action, does it break your heart to see this?
Well, absolutely. But I will tell you this much. I will not lose faith, and I will not tire in working to improve this. This is a solemn promise that we've made, both on a case-by-case basis, which we work indefatigably, and then also from a policy advocacy standpoint, that we see these changes implemented, that we follow through, just as we follow through for our seniors who have helped make our country great. It's important that we follow through on our pledges to our veterans.
I only have a minute, but I do want to ask you one really fast question. Eric Cantor is out. Is a new team in place? Are you happy, or do you think that the party could have done better?
I think Kevin McCarthy, when I've had conversations with him, I think he understands our issues up here. Sad case for his family, but his daughter has had Lyme disease for 5 years. So, you know, we've been working that issue very extensively in the Congress, and he's been supportive and sympathetic. So I see us getting help there. Broadband challenges we have, he has been understanding of that. So I think, you know, farm agricultural issues from Bakersfield, he is. So I think on the issues that matter to us in upstate New York, I think we're going to get support.
Now, how about his deputy? Because I hear that he's much more conservative than McCarthy.
Well, he won't have the authority on what bills are brought to the floor. That's going to be Kevin McCarthy. So, you know, I think on the issues that matter to us with regard to infrastructure, regard to agricultural pursuits, broadband, I feel comfortable we're going to have somebody who's going to bring our bills to the floor.
It's always great to have you here with us, Chris. Chris Gibson, New York's 19th District Congressman in office since 2011. Appreciate your being here.
Thank you, Ellen. God bless all the listeners out there.